Welcome to the Pint and Click podcast. I'm Dave. I'm here with Alonzo and Tony and Joel, and we're here to talk about Avengers Infinity War. Avengers Infinity War is in theaters now. It's making a ton of money. It's very popular. If you like Marvel characters and Marvel movies and you need to get ready for Infinity War, you can come to the library and check out your Iron Man movies and your Thor movies and your Guardians of the Galaxy and your Captain America and watch all those movies on DVD to get you prepped for Infinity War. Infinity War is kind of the end of a 10-year story where Thanos finally shows up and he's hunting the Infinity Stones and he's trying to beat the good guys and see his evil plan come together. I thought it was a lot of fun, but guys, what did we think of Infinity War?
Well, I actually kind of disagree with you on that one. I mean, I did like the movie, I liked the special effects, but I thought the plot itself was a little too predictable.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to pinpoint certain events, but there were certain events where I was like, wow, I was sitting next to my friends and I was like, this is going to happen, watch. And then like 10 seconds later, it happened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then with a couple of scenes, I was like, And I also felt that it had a very similar plot to X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah,
so,
I think so.
Like just the battle scenes and everything, I was like, did they recycle writers?
I don't know. I don't think so. There are a lot of writers credited on this movie, I will say, but I'm not sure. Maybe, maybe not.
I'm going to do an intense search on this. Expose them.
Very good.
Homework assignment. Yeah. Extra credit.
I mean, I thought the battle scenes, like any Marvel movie, have to kind of define, you're putting a mixture of unique characters together, and there were some pretty dark and grim baddies in this one. I forget exactly the names of Thanos' henchmen.
Ebony Maw and Corvus Glaive.
Yes, And they were terrifying, just the way that they were shot. I mean, they came onto screen in an instant, and they were a threat from the very second that they stepped onto the screen. They were violent. They were after the stone, you know, and they were after Vision. Mm-hmm. They were after his stone. And the pacing was really good in this movie, I think, just because you know you're going to get the fighting. I mean, it's a superhero movie. They have powers that kill people and fight and, you know, blast things and explode things. So you're going to get the fighting. So it's like, how well is that executed? And Thanos, as a bad guy, executed it ridiculously well. Yeah, there's a line that Tony Stark says, like, that's the last time you throw a moon at me or something like that. And it's just like, it just nails it perfectly because it combines like the nonchalantness of how great the heroes are and what they've been through with like how much it's escalated to the cosmic level, literally, you know. And that's like always the goal in these Marvel things is what are these cosmic beings and why are they messing with us? So, I thought it told the story really well through those types of action in that it was like big but also still personal. So
I want to jump right in with that as well. The other two Avengers movies, they seem to have kind of like a Scooby-Doo villain versus the mystery crew or whatever you call them. Mm-hmm. It was like that kind of a mold. Mm-hmm. This one had more of a philosophy behind it. Like they weren't just fighting a bad guy.
Yeah.
They were fighting people that believed in this. They were fighting an idea. And they were really gaining their name as defenders of Earth. And I felt that much more in this one. And what you said before about like the stakes being higher, the first time you're introduced to a lot of these characters – in the movie, you're actually seeing them in the aftermath of what they're capable of. And I thought that was a pretty effective way of portraying these characters.
Yeah. So like Vision, for example, living this Scandinavian, call it like hipster life, where he's like, it's like a dating movie for a little while there. And they're, but then it's like bad things start happening. And it's like his superhero reality comes crushing down on him. Or even the aftermath of Civil War. Is that kind of what you're getting at? Where how like there's like this tension between the Avengers who have like... split, and then like they're not even necessarily working or talking to each other.
Well, in the first time you're introduced to the bad guys, you're introduced to the wreckage that they've already caused, and the effects of what they can do, you know, in space. I felt that that was it was kind of a chilling moment.
Yeah,
to like this doesn't feel like a Marvel movie at this point.
Yeah, so I enjoyed this movie very much. I had a lot of fun from beginning to end. But there are a couple things that I think work against it, and I want to get those out right now.
I'm ready.
I agree with your point about it's the plot. One, it is similar to X-Men Apocalypse. And two, it's not super original. But what they hung, the characters that they hung on that plot, I thought were very compelling. I thought the relationships that changed and developed throughout the movie were very compelling. But there's a couple of things. One, it is kind of bogged down with not just previous movies, but interconnections between previous movies. The Hulk shows up and he says to Tony Stark, you got to call Captain America. And it's like, all right, he can't do that for several reasons. And I know those reasons because I've seen all 15, 20 movies or whatever they are. But my wife is like, why? And I'm like, shh. And, but, you know, unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of people in there who are like, why are they not talking? What is going on? Because they saw Captain America 1 and maybe 2 and missed 3. And then it turns out, oh, 3 is the one you have to see. Mm-hmm. So that's unfortunate. That it's kind of burdened by that. But that's only like the first half hour-ish. Like after that, things are rolling, things are good. Everyone's been introduced, and then things roll from there. The other thing that it kind of suffers for is that there's a lot of jokes, and they're funny, and I think that's great. But come on, guys, like, you can't be joking all the time, all movie long. I think it was great for a person watching the movie to have those jokes, to have that levity, to be able to enjoy the movie sometimes. But like from a character point of view, it's almost like these people are professional comedians by day and superheroes by night. And like that was a little much, I thought. I thought Doctor Strange was a good balance of some jokes here, but still keeping his character. And then Spider-Man is all about the jokes. That's all he does, so that's great. But then it's like Tony Stark's making too many jokes, I think. Like, I think it's a little much.
Well, and it doesn't necessarily go with the dark tone that you were mentioning about how evil and how bad things could get and have already gotten for so many of the characters in this. And it's like, it doesn't reflect that, and it's almost like in the case of this movie, there are scenes going on in completely different worlds, but the same thing is at stake, and it's like, yeah, I guess it would bring it to life even more if the characters like acknowledged that, yes, this is, you know. And you know what? Actually, on that note, one of the cooler, darker planets that they found was the forge that Thor had to go to, so I just thought that that was like, it could have been taken out, but it was so cool that they, because it only involved really him and Groot, I think, and Rocket. And it's just like a small group of individuals trying to, it's basically just like what I call the stage of the movie. It's like where Iron Man gets his upgrade, you know? It's like you have to become this much stronger to face the foe. And it's kind of a hero's journey, like, but I don't know that it's the like, type of thing that fit in the movie. Like,
there's a point to that with Thor in his relationship to the hammer. That was highlighted in Ragnarok. What did his father say? Are you the god of hammers? Are you the god of lightning? Or thunder, whatever. I think that was just kind of a character development because he's come to terms with the loss of his hammer and now coming back to the forge, what does this mean for him that now that he's able to acquire a new weapon? And I kind of appreciate it from that aspect, but I could see that it may not have
it was contributed. Like, it was a great two or three scenes, but in a 2.5 hour movie, like those 5 minutes are valuable, right? Like if you could make the movie 5 minutes shorter by cutting those scenes, like maybe you do. Like unfortunately, because I thought they were great.
I even weirdly liked him and Rocket, their back and forth. Was like really like kind of poignant and cool.
Rocket had a great character arc in this movie. From and throughout the movies, throughout Guardians, where he's just like, I'm a mouthy mercenary who doesn't care about anything but money. And now he's like, oh, he's having a bad day. I got to go cheer up Thor. And it's just like, who is this character now? Like, it's not who he was. Like, but he's had that arc now where he, like Rocket now realizes that the people who are with him are the most valuable thing. And so, like, he even has an emotional response to, like, when Thor feels bad, he feels bad. And he tries to cheer him up. And it's like, you know, before he never would have cared back in Guardians 1. But I like where Rocket is now. It's a lot of fun.
There is a moment that carried through from Avengers movies in the past. I believe it's from Ultron, when they're joking around, of course, because they're always joking, right? Because they're a comedian by day. And they're trying to pull the hammer off the coffee table. And, you know, everybody can't do it, of course, but Captain America manages to move it just a microscopic amount, and Thor, like, reacts like, oh, you know, like, he notices that. And I love that aspect because it seems like no matter how super these heroes are, it always seems like Captain America is able to go, like, a little bit further. And there is a point in this movie where that happened again, and I enjoyed the continuation of that moment. Just a brief mention of that.
I don't want to get people down on it because I did like this movie very much. I like had a great time. Like, I felt it from beginning to end. You know, these jokes are funny. Like, it's kind of weird that they're telling all these jokes, but the jokes are funny. They're hitting. Joke after joke is hitting with me, and I'm smiling in the audience. I watched it Thursday night, 7 p.m., so that was the first show in our area, and the crowd was alive, man. They were laughing. They were cheering. They were gasping. They were sobbing. All of these things, and I'm like, this is great. Like, how often are you with this group experience, you know, that all these people are into it? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to go back and see if I can get the same experience the second time around, because that'd be marvelous. But
did you wear a t-shirt?
No, I did not wear a – I don't think I have any Marvel t-shirts. I'm sorry to say, now that I think about it. I did wear one of my favorite t-shirts to the event. I will say that.
You got to go wear like a cosplay and everything.
I should have. Who would I cosplay as? Who would you cosplay as from Infinity War?
Honestly, I'm not just saying this because it's like a big hype now, but the Black Panther.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
I like that because I feel like that whole movie, and as well as like the segment that it had in that movie, it's like a celebration of African tribes, which are usually marginalized, forgotten about in society, but they actually play like a big role. So I think that's why.
Yeah. Wakanda was great, not in the Black Panther movie, but like it took its second step in this movie, and that whole scene, that whole part of the movie was great again to watch them come together. And it's like, all right, we need to protect our friends. And it's like, they're not even from Wakanda, but it's like, we're laying our lives on the line. We're going to go to war to protect these people because they've done the same for us and would do the same for us again.
Yeah. There's a challenge now on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's called the Black Panther Dance Challenge. So, and all the listeners, yeah, go look at it when you can. I'm not even joking.
All right,
it's pretty hard. So,
the other thing that this movie sets up some characters. Speaking of character arcs, with the Hulk character arc of coming back and his sputtering of, you know, turning into the Hulk,
not being able to Hulk out.
Right.
Yeah.
To me, I found that incredibly fascinating, and I can't wait to see, you know, why. And the resolution of it, because I'm a big Hulk fan, and I think that it is amazing that he hasn't had his own individual
movie.
A Ruffalo movie. When he's been a spectacular actor and piece of like every movie he's in,
like,
almost.
He's like kind of stolen the show from me in all of the movies that the Hulk has been in. Yeah. I love the way that they do that.
Mm-hmm. And there's a thing that sticks out that I want to address here now, is that in the movie, Bruce Banner cannot turn into the Hulk, and it's funny, and it's, you know, interesting for the character again to have this. He's got to rely on himself now. He can't rely on the other guy, right? But in the trailers, he's the Hulk. Did you remember that? There's scenes of the Hulk. They purposely lied to us to make us think that the Hulk's in this movie. Turns out he's not in the movie.
False advertisement.
I know. But they did that on purpose. They must have. Like, they CG'd scenes of the Hulk. They had artists create.
I thought perhaps
a false representation.
And correct me. Am I wrong that wasn't the Hulk in the scene at the start where he was battling against, you know, Thanos. There's an invasion of Thanos. And,
yes.
Yeah. And it's like on this refugee ship, I think it is. Okay. So the Hulk was there, but then after that, the Hulk is no longer in the movie. Okay.
Right. Which is my idea, is that he just got beat so bad by Thanos, like he was scared to come out. He was like, no Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the great part. It's not that Bruce can't turn into the Hulk.
Yeah,
the Hulk refuses to show up.
Yeah, right.
Hulk's not coming.
Right.
Yeah.
It seemed like they were taking lessons from Justice League advertisement where they didn't tell you.
Yeah.
But it was just they kind of tripped over their own feet because they couldn't decide whether to reveal that or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Superman reveal in Justice League, which was, I think we all knew, like, right?
Right. So but just advertise movie, it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So just go for it. Yeah, just go for it.
Well, I think it even shows that DC was really only planning on this short arc, maybe, whereas Marvel, it seems like they were building this up even before Thor Ragnarok, because not seems like. I mean, obviously, this particular movie has been plotted since 2008. Like you said, it's the end of a 10-year journey.
Yeah.
But I love how it's a continuation from what, like you said, the Hulk is going to become or evolve into, because at this point, we still don't know how that story ends, because Bruce Banner is, well, we saw where he was previously, where it was on this, I can't remember the name of the planet, but it was really like cool in the 80s. Was it Nowhere? No, it wasn't Nowhere. It was just, it was the crazy planet in the Hulk, or Thor Ragnarok.
The junk planet. I can't remember the name of it. I just saw it the other day, which is why I'm
And we all loved, and you can listen to our podcast from Thor Ragnarok to hear us talk about how great the Hulk was in that one.
But, you know, in phase four, right? Isn't that what's coming up now with the Marvel movies?
They won't use that word, but
I saw it used, but yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I used it.
Yeah, sure.
So, but that's...
A lot of payoffs for a lot of characters are in this movie. I think Nebula pays off really well, who's been kind of a hanger-on in other movies. Like, this movie, like, her presence was particularly shocking and compelling. You know, just, like, name a character, and they've got either a great story arc or a great moment or a great scene. Mm-hmm. You know, Drax has got a great scene and a funny scene, and Rocket's got a heartbreaking scene, and Thor's got an amazing scene, and, like, they all paid off somehow. There's, like, 50 characters in this movie, and, like, they paid them each off. Mm-hmm. Captain America, when he first shows up, the audience almost came to their feet in that theater, like, cheering for Captain America when he caught that spear after the train goes by. And Thanos was great and weird. It was very different from the comic book Thanos, which gave me pause at first. But, you know, upon reflection, like, he's almost the star of the movie. Like, he's the one. He's the one that you look to. And he's awful and terrible and cruel and heartless and all those things. But you're compelled by his presence. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what's he going to do? How's he going to do it? Like, what's he willing to risk?
Under the veneer of a well-meaning
individual,
which is scarier.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. I think excellently played. The CG, like, almost wasn't even there. Like, I kind of forgot that he's a 100% CG character.
Right, and they do these long shots where the camera just, like, rests on him doing something. And, like, there's lots of dialogue, too, between him and Gamora and him and Nebula. I think there's, like, just a lot of scenes where he gets to explain his worldview to us, you know?
Yeah.
And it makes it all the more interesting to know that, like, you know, it's like knowing your enemy and understanding and, like, it gazing into the abyss and it gazing at you and stuff like that. So I'm actually curious. I mean, obviously, he's, like, the one character that he's been in multiple movies, like Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and he's been in a lot of these, like, after credits, mid-credits scenes and things like that. Not necessarily developing during that period, but he's been there. So now it's interesting that we get a glimpse at that. And I wonder if they'll develop out any other Marvel villains or anything like that, because it's kind of an interesting new president. One of the things I was going to ask you guys, are there any Avengers or Marvel movies that you want to go back and rewatch now? Because, like, I'm looking at Doctor Strange and being like, his character has a lot to him. I want to kind of go back and actually revisit that movie, because visually it was extremely spectacular, but... You know, I want to get the origin story again and just be like, well, how does this all fit in? Who is this person? Or, you know.
Well, I'm an X-Men person.
Okay.
Yeah. I grew up watching, like, the 90s cartoon version. So yeah, that's, like, my...
Yeah, that,
like,
is an amazing TV series.
Let's hope they start showing up now that we got the merger going.
They better start showing up. Yeah. We'll be like,
where's Wolverine during
I was a Cyclops and Mystique person.
Yeah.
Those are my favorites.
Yeah, I like Cyclops a lot. About the other movies, though, I watched Avengers 1 and 2 before I went to see this, and I was just planning to just have them on and be like, I'm just going to sit at my computer and have these movies on and just remember them. But no, I couldn't look away. I had to sit and watch.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, I had forgotten.
The sign of a good movie.
How good the original Avengers was and how good Spader in Age of Ultron is. Like, people don't like Age of Ultron very much, and that's fine. But I found a YouTube clip of just James Spader's scenes as Ultron. And, like, those 12 minutes are great. Like, watch
it's
that.
Like, it's like watching Benedict Cumberbatch read Smog.
Yeah.
You know, those are great.
That's all you need, Just fast forward to the end of The Hobbit and watch Smog. I do want to see – I didn't watch Civil War. I should watch Civil War again. But mostly I just want to see this movie again. A lot of it just kind of – there's a lot to take in, and I think I got it all, but I don't know because I think I should go back and take another pass at
it. It's one of those movies where if you're paying attention to one part of the screen, something else is happening somewhere else, like things you notice, eggs, you know, if you will, in the background or whatever.
Yeah, Easter eggs.
So I agree. But I think Doctor Strange, I agree with you, is philosophically – a lot like this movie. Like, there's a lot more to it than just people running around. And I mean, there's more to it in a lot of the movies, but I think this kind of a line, there's, like, a little bit of a metaphysical tone to this, where Thanos had to collect the different stones, and they stood for different parts of existence. And I thought that was terrific, where he had to collect the Soul Stone, time, and the others.
Matter or something. I forget what the other ones are.
Reality and space.
If you could have one stone, which one would it be and why?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh.
The time stone seems obvious.
Yeah.
Because then you could rewind. If you say something, the wrong thing, you could just rewind it and do it again. I'd probably prefer space, though. You could just travel to anywhere instantly. Like, that's how we use the portals. You know, you kept walking through a portal and coming out. That was the space stone.
So you could travel a billion light years like
that. Yeah, just like that.
Wrinkle time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about you, Tony? What do you do?
Probably the time one, too. I don't know. It seems worthwhile. I mean, matter would be fun just because you could rearrange things
and then it seems like an image or whatever.
Yeah.
I would go with the reality one.
I'd to say reality seems to be like create your own.
Yeah.
The most powerful.
You could travel anywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
On the spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very compelling. Very compelling. So anyway, final thoughts on Infinity War. I liked it a lot. I recommend people go.
I mean, I liked it as well. I don't know. Part of me was just like, it's going to happen. Watch.
Yeah.
But aside from that, like I said, I did like the movie. It's just, to me,
A little predictable.
All right. Mm-hmm. We could change that a little bit.
Yeah.
I think fans of these types of movies are not going to be disappointed walking away from this movie. Like, not at all. And I think
that's absolutely true.
It's just like a... Payoff isn't the right word, but I think it's just like there are a lot of rewards to sticking with a story this large and that spans these many years. And I think they did a really good job of not ending it, but like adding to it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Just like the Star Wars episodes where... their own films within, like you can like sit back and say Empire is such a great film in and of itself.
Yeah, and we're
but then it connects A New Hope to Return of the Jedi and and I think this is a good connecting point from Civil War and
Age of Ultron
onto
Captain Marvel and Avengers 4 coming next year. All right, well, thanks everyone. That's the Pint and Click podcast. We'll see you next time.